This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 269 of the Countdown Podcast. Not trying to brag, but I had breakfast in a cafe this morning. My name is Wayne.
Does sound like you're trying to brag, though.
I know.
With apologies to our UK and US listeners, although I hear those restrictions being eased
exactly.
All around the world.
And they will be soon.
And thank God for that. My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness, so you don't have to, but not today.
Mm-hmm.
Today is all about the movies, and it's all about a particular sub-genre of films that we have neglected badly.
Amazing.
268 episodes,
amazingly,
we have completely ignored time travel and all its associated shenanigans.
And it's huge. I didn't think it would be that, but this is a hard list I put together, man.
It was a hard list to put together because some quality got cut off it. And I had to make some rules.
Ooh.
I made a rule early on. One film per franchise.
Sure.
Yeah?
Sure.
So you roll with the same?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, otherwise I might stick the whole franchise in a spot. You know what I mean?
Yes, you could. Yes, exactly. I know what you're talking about. Yes.
So that's the way we've decided without checking with each other how we would handle this. But we had some unprecedented amount of feedback. It's been maybe years since we've had as much feedback.
Really? Everyone digs the tea travel.
Clearly a topic that people are passionate about and enjoy these kind of films. It is fun, I think, to imagine what it might be like to put yourself in those shoes of going forward or backwards in time.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Change some shit.
Everyone
up as a
wants
result.
That shit.
Yeah, that's the superpower. Anytime it says, what's superpower? Time travel.
Did you just win every lottery and go, fuck it? And for like, you know, a year and then you're good.
Fuck flying. If I time travel enough back times, I can get things sorted enough that I can fly, make it so it can happen myself.
Totally.
Yeah.
Freaking own like a bunch of jets.
With enough money.
Exactly.
Anything is possible.
Right.
But that's the topic anyway today. But we'll get there on the other side of a segment that starts off every show, a segment we call The Recount.
Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount?
The recount is our mail room, but Paul, can I tell you something real quick?
What, there's a cyclone apparently bearing down on us and we are recording as quickly as we can, so if you hear noise in the background, sorry.
Yeah, that. But also, I just wanted to tell you this. I went ass over tit this week. I forgot to tell you this, or maybe I just sent you a picture, but I was walking to work.
No, you talked about it on a chat.
Yeah, and I fucking was looking at my phone like a bitch, and I walked right through this like retaining wall. It was about 6 inches high. It was just this weird bit. And I fucking hit my... You know how you might stumble and fall? I broke my shin against this thing, fell forward, all my book, everything, bag, fucking all that shit. I was in a suit, right? And I fucking rolled over the cunt, right? Bang! Actual back went down hard. Fucking elbows, knees, and there's so much blood on my fucking...
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
okay.
Check this out, Paul.
Oh, he's going to show me his war wound. Oh, yeah, there's a little war wound there.
Motherfucker,
oh,
look at that
shit. Lower, yes, you
that's
did.
That's fucking gangster, right?
Yeah, that's good,
I
yeah.
got fucked up, all right? So, anyway, and unfortunately, because with the COVID, there's not many people out in King Square at the moment. So, I was just like, oh, shit.
Because I was literally torn between, how do you reckon people reacted? Did they react like this? Or did they react like this?
Yeah!
If I was them, I would be laughing like a mother. I would be like, oh shit, that motherfucker went down. Look at that shit, right? So I think a few people saw me, and one girl definitely saw me, and I found out later on that day that she's on my floor. I was like, fuck! She didn't say anything. I just got into the lift. I just got up and got out of there, man. I was like so embarrassed, and I was almost dead. I was like, I'm gonna die, but not here.
I'm sorry, you injured yourself. But thank you for sharing that with us. And
anyway,
that has padded out what was going to be a very short recount. So incidentally, because that wasn't arranged at all, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's just go straight into it then. The results of this week's poll. I was up 6-5 on the year. Now I'm up 7-5. And shellacking. The top 10 non-human sidekicks, 48 votes to your 20.
I so got fingered hard.
To that 20. Chris Sutherland said, I'm on strike. The greatest non-human sidekick didn't even make either of your lists. Strike! He was talking about hobbits.
Hobbits.
Hobbits in general. I believe someone else thought Donkey was the greatest psychic ever, and
this.
I think it was Luke Alexander. Jon Snow, i.e. Julio from the Contrarians podcast, said Wayne gets the vote for his reaction to Paul's Wilson pick. He also gets bonus points for correcting Paul's manhandling the Knight Rider theme. How dare you, sir?
You know what? Ashley told me this during the week. She said she listened to the podcast on fast speed.
Yeah.
And she heard the ding, 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 in fast speed. Yeah. like that would actually make it kind of recognizable.
Well, speaking of Ashley, she did summarize our entire with a GIF or a graphic of me as the Tom Hanks castaway character.
I saw that. That
and
was
you as the Wilson face that was on the ball.
That was cracker ass bitch. That is hilarious.
Speaking of Ashley, you are on recorded for her show. I'm not sure the episode's not out yet, though, is it?
Yes. So, I was on the Rabbit Ears podcast with Ashley, and we talked 30 Rock. If you dig 30 Rock, I'm not sure when the episode's coming out. I don't think it's out yet.
We'll spruik it again when it comes out.
But just keep an eye out for that because we had some good times, man. And it's interesting doing a show without Paul. I don't really do it very often. In fact, I don't think I've ever done it.
No, they have. Two peas on a podcast.
Oh,
Gerald.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, yeah. It's always very recent. So Gerald and Ashley are the only two.
Wayne is finally, after 5 and a bit years, spreading his podcasting wings. It's nice. It only took me that long to coax him how to fly.
Yeah, it took a while.
Couple other comments. Jake Humphrey said, I stand with Wayne, hashtag. But then overwhelmingly, Blake Jarvis being a very succinct summary, people are like, no Chewy, no vote.
Yeah, yep. That's what kicked me.
You absolutely shot yourself in the ass by not having a Chewy on there. So Chef Ben Randall from the In the Weeds podcast said exactly the same. But you can't accept Kit and call the Millennium Falcon just his vehicle. That's assault, man.
Yeah, assault. I jump back on that one. All right, so read this, man. Millennium Falcon ain't sentient.
Yeah. All right. And of course, I was on a podcast, which is dropping just before this one does, and that was celebrating the 25th anniversary of Braveheart with Nicholas from the Epic Film Guys. We did a deep dive, sort of hour review of Braveheart. Good times. Very much enjoyed that. And as you'll hear in the promo break, this coming week, a couple of days from now when this episode drops, live stream for The Cure, Volume 4, is kicking off for over 4 days, where the Epic Film Guys are going to be trying to raise $10,000 for the fight against cancer or cancer research.
Featuring Paul's ass.
I'm very much looking forward to that. Please, if you can at these difficult times, do dig deep, do give generously.
Yeah.
All right, that is the end of this week's recount. Do have a bit of surprise, though.
What?
Oh, shit! Cigar Watch.
Fantastic.
Wade had no idea.
I did not.
Was returning today for a very truncated, very small version thereof.
Bring it.
Thanks to John Huslander, who during the week drew my attention to an article about Steven Seagal. And in that article was mentioned that Steven Seagal once had an aftershave named Scent of Action.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. Scent of Action. That's the name of his next movie. That's not...
Scent of Action.
Scent of fat cunt with a ponytail.
And that is it. That's it for this week's Cigar Watch. He is as big a cunt as we keep saying he is.
I'm Nick.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Brian.
We are the Epic Film Guys. We want to let you know that the 4th annual live stream for The Cure is only a couple weeks away.
Every single dollar raised goes to the Cancer Research Institute to help us fight for a future immune to cancer. And once again, donations will be doubled.
Join us May 27th through the 31st for 48 hours of content from creators around the world. Please help us spread the word so we can smash our goal of $10,000.
Please visit www.livestreamforthecure.com to make an early donation and to learn more about the event.
Together, we can make a difference.
The top 10 time travel movies.
Very spooky.
Is the topic of this week's countdown, as mentioned. Now, Wayne, did you do your research?
I researched like a motherfucker.
Yeah, so you've learned all about different types of time travel in films, and you'll be able to refer to that as we go through today's proceedings.
No, what the fuck are you talking about?
Hot damn!
Bitch, what fucking types?
All right, I guess only I'll refer to that as I can remember.
Oh, God.
All right. I saw, thanks to Chris Yeaney, a patron extraordinaire and good friend of the show, who linked us up with a YouTube video, about an 8-minute video sort of describing the different kinds of time travel.
I didn't watch that.
Well, you were specifically drawn to it.
On this CC list?
You were indeed. All right, Wayne, given you haven't done your research, lead us away. What's your number 10 best time travel film?
Fine. Now, listen. You know how I omitted Chewie from last week and it killed me?
Yep.
I'm about to do the same thing. I don't give a fuck. All right? This is how
Come on now.
No. I'm not in what you think, but there'll be obvious choices that you won't see on my list.
A couple of obvious ones on my list as well that aren't there as well that I know you're going to cover.
Yes.
I know there's one in particular that I flirted with, but I don't have that. I'll leave it off.
Well, having said that, this number 10 of mine is a bit of a little left field, okay?
All right, here we go.
Now, there was a 1980 movie called... The Final Countdown. Do you remember this one?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good.
The Philadelphia experiment.
Sort of. It's much like that. It's basically about USS Nimitz.
Yeah, sorry. That sounded like I was saying one film is the other. No, I mean, they're referencing the same event, right?
Kind of the same, I think. I'm not sure. But what happens with this one is that Martin Sheen and Kirk Douglas and all these folks are like, you know, naval people on this big aircraft carrier. They go into this big storm. The storm takes them back to fucking Pearl Harbor, man. It takes them back to like fucking 1941 or whatever. And they then have to actually decide whether to still actually defend Pearl Harbor, knowing that it's going to happen. And they're not sure what the history shit happens. Now, what's cool about this show is literally when they turn up, they're like, what's going on here? Where are we? And then these Japanese, like old Spitfire looking fucking things try to attack them. And they just launch F-14s up in the air saying, what are we going to do? Can we kill them? Because it's really, really good. But it's really, really awesome to see this, like, then modern weaponry taking out old school shit and what would happen. And it's actually a really great movie. I totally dug the shit out of it.
I don't know if I've seen this movie. I definitely know of it.
Yeah, it's, well,
because I don't think the Philadelphia experiment has people taking on Pearl Harbor, but it's just a ship which temporarily
is that
through
so?
Time from memory.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I can barely remember that one. But this one here, it got me more. Plus, I love planes, and F-14s are the coolest looking planes ever.
Okay.
So, you know,
right,
one guy.
Fair enough. Okay, my number 10 is one you won't have seen. It's a Spanish film from Nacho Vigalondo.
Oh, shit.
Time Crimes.
Time Crimes!
Or, here you go. This is for you and everyone out there who loves it when I butcher pronouncing things. Los Cronocriminis.
Oh, shit. Okay, excellent. Now, what is this, Joe?
This is a very simple story about a man who, living wherever he's living, he's got forest. He looks out one day and sees a man with like pink bandages wrapped around his head standing out there. So he goes out to investigate, and it's the kind of time travel movie where when you travel in time, you can interact with yourself back in that time.
Okay.
And it turns out through a number of increasingly harsh developments, if you will, that virtually everyone in the film is played by him.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, I know of this type, and there's one of these on my list.
Yeah. So it's very clever. It's real consistent. Now, I talk about this a lot in reviews. Internal consistency or logical consistency in a film is very important to me.
Okay.
Right. So when a film doesn't play by its own established rules,
agreed.
Or it doesn't establish rules,
mm-hmm.
or it just seems to play fast and loose, I get really
sure because then it's not governed by anything,
exactly.
And it can just do whatever.
This
it wants.
One. Very by the end of the film, very clearly establishes the rules and it plays by them and never cheats.
Excellent.
So it's a very contained and very watchable. I don't think it's very long, this particular film. So yeah, that's why it's 92 minutes, flies by, holds your attention and is entertaining. So Time Crimes, check it out.
Time Crimes, got it. Okay, interesting. My number 9 is Star Trek, and I'm talking about the 2009 one. J.J. Abrams. Really? I am surprised. I thought that you would go with Star Trek 4 because you like the fucking Kirk folks.
I do like the Kirk folks, but, and here's the deal.
What?
In the end, I decided, yeah, look, if it's got time travel in it, it counts. It's a major plot point. The villain is doing what he's doing because of time travel.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's a bigger feature in Star Trek 4, but this is the one that I own on 4K. This is the one I return to
watch.
Yeah,
but this is a better movie.
This is a much better movie for me, and B, it's so much more entertaining. Mm. So, yeah, it's on my list. It was a late inclusion.
Yep.
Like when I redid my list this morning, I added it and it kept rising higher and higher and higher. We'll see how high.
Someone will be pissed that
we didn't do Voyage Home.
Yeah, someone will be pissed about that. But
someone, probably many.
Many people, right? I didn't think you would do this because they're like, oh, what's with the fucking flares and the new one? And, you know,
fucking love the new one. It's brilliant.
It's fucking the whole friend. Look, I even liked the Beyond one, the last one. I didn't mind.
It got progressively worse for me.
I love Into Darkness. I actually liked Into Darkness better than this one. I'm the only guy on the planet.
I know, we had that discussion. We won't go there again.
Fair enough. All right, Star Trek, number nine. You're number 8, sir.
My number 9 is Source Code.
Oh, shit.
On your list?
In my on-mentions.
Honours, yeah. Duncan Jones' second film, I think, behind Moon, and stars Jake Gyllenhaal as a guy who keeps waking up in what he's told is a construct of an event which took place, a terrorist bombing on a train, which they have assembled from some technology which allows them to take the last 8 minutes of consciousness from people who have died, string it together to piece the events together so he can identify a terrorist before he can strike again.
Yes.
Right? Turns out, nope, they're actually sending him into backwards in time into alternate realities again and again and again.
To
save this, arrest the guy, get him caught before he actually blows the bomb up.
Oh.
So he's lied to and whatever else. And he's told that you were basically blown up in an accident type thing or shot down your plane. So you're going to die anyway.
So we're sending you back again and again and again. And he, this film is 9 years old, so I guess I'm really spoiling it here.
Go for it.
Only at the very end of the film do you realize it's actually a time travel movie. So,
because I'm trying, you know what? Source code, I remember liking it. I remember why I liked it, but I can't remember that much about the movie.
Yeah,
so that's why I didn't put it in. But like, I knew it was good. And I'm now, as you're saying that, remembering. Again, that's right.
Short, sharp, to the point. Yeah, 93 minutes, really entertaining, really holds you. And again, once you understand what's going on, it plays.
That's why it's cool. Jake Gyllenhaal, right?
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal. Michelle Monaghan, and Vera Farmiga as the officer who's largely in charge, and Jeffrey Wright.
I like me some Michelle Monaghan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on her hand, you know what I'm saying? That's why I wanted to. Because I knew you were going to come up with
it. Yeah, I was working. It was going to be something like you want to Monaghan her Michelle.
I'm right, Monaghan, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Anyway, improv.
Okay, so it happens sometimes on the show to varying degrees of effectiveness.
Usually low. My number eight, folks, is a bit of a... It's a bit obvious, this one. It's Donnie Darko, okay? But
not on my list.
Okay, so I
came... Because I don't remember it. Same
as fair enough. I came to Donnie Darko really late, and people said you should watch it. And for all intents and purposes, I should not like this film because it doesn't actually give you the answer, and it annoys me when that happens. But since it's become... Like, I watched it late, and it still worked. And yes, there's a lot of nostalgia with the fucking... The soundtrack is just so good or something, and it made it feel like the 80s again. I don't know what it was. This movie should not have worked for me, yet it worked in spades, so that means it's awesome. Yeah, and okay. It's obviously much everyone talks about.
Obviously, Jake Gyllenhaal again.
JG.
And Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Man,
so I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that you don't want a Gyllenhaal Maggie as much as you want a Monaghan Michelle.
I would totally... No. That was pretty good. I mean, it was okay. So... you know what? You take that point. You know what? Just to take that little point there. Maggie G in this movie is quite an attractive young lady. I just don't know what happened.
So you don't like her in, what was it? Dark Knight.
No one does. No one does. Come on. She's
no Katie Holmes?
No Katie Holmes. And not that Katie Holmes is all that.
No.
Right?
I saw Katie Holmes last night in a movie I watched called Brahms, The Boy 2.
And?
Oh, man.
Oh, really? Joey from Dawson's Crack? Okay.
I'm talking about the film itself.
Oh, the film
she,
is shit.
She's looking her age now, which as she...
Good, good. That's totally, totally fine.
I'm sure she's an attractive woman, but she's terrible in this movie. Everyone's terrible. It fucking sucks.
Oh, anyway, okay.
Off the topic, moving on.
Yeah, Mad GG. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway.
Sorry. There we are. A tangent. We'll bring it back here with my number eight, which I expect to be on your list. It's a Terry Gilliam film. It's 12 Monkeys.
Honorable mention.
Whoa, really?
But I know it's great. It could easily have gone on the list.
I think this is one of the most visually distinctive films.
Absolutely.
On the list.
Yes.
And Terry Gilliam films are very distinctive. I haven't seen them all. I haven't seen one which some people really raved about, Bandits.
Neither have I.
Which is one I fully intend to watch.
He did a Heath Ledger and Matt Damon one, Grimm Brothers or Grimm's or some shit like that. And it was one of those expensive but not good somehow.
I haven't seen
it. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, but this one is great. So it tells the story of Bruce Willis's character in 2035, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Something like that. It's being sent back to 1996 to try and prevent a virus being released.
That's right.
And they keep screwing up and sending him too far back in time, whatever else, and da-da-da-da. And he meets Brad Pitt, and they think Brad Pitt's character is the one that's going to release the virus. And then there are some twists and turns.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out this is the kind of timeline where you can affect exactly what's going on. He's meant to kind of stop it, but then there's twist, twist, twist. Ends really powerfully. Great film. Hugely memorable. Like it a lot.
This is where Brad Pitt was like... At the time, he was the Hollywood darling and whatever, but then he kept on taking roles which made him ugly on purpose. Mm-hmm. Like, and this was one of them. And I remember going, yeah, he's trying to break that mold, and he's doing it pretty well.
He got nominated for this film, I'm pretty sure.
It was great. It was a great movie. Yeah, no, I totally agree with this one. It could have been on there. Nice work.
Thank you.
All right. My number seven is a film. Is it seven? Yeah, seven.
Yep,
so far. Seven.
Yep.
Okay, so this is the most complex film of this genre, and I believe it is more ambitious than the movie Inception. The movie is called Predestination.
Ooh, this is what I was talking about. Knew it'd be on your list.
Yeah, because it is, like I said, it's more complex than Inception. I believe that. This is an Ethan Hawke film, and he plays this agent who travels through time in order to stop criminals from going through with their crimes, bombs, things like that. The plot is completely unpredictable, and it is one that will make you think. And even if you pay close attention to details, it's one of those things where you don't know what it means till afterwards and you go back and look at it. So It is really, really, really cool. It's about temporal agents, and for this guy's final assignment, he must pursue this one criminal that's eluded him throughout time. It turns into a very unique, surprising, mind-bending, kind of an exploration of love and fate and that sort of thing, but really one of the most original ideas I've heard of.
The most shocking thing about Predestination is that it's directed by the Spearing brothers. Right? They're Australian-German brothers, so born in Germany, moved to Australia, work in Australia.
Yeah.
They made a film, which was a very low budget, called The Undead, which is great. Low budget Aussie zombie film.
Yeah, you've seen it, obviously.
Yeah, and then Daybreakers, they made that film.
Oh, with Ethan Hawke again.
Ethan Hawke again, which I would imagine is why he's back in this one. I think Willem Dafoe, was he in that one too, Daybreakers?
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Daybreakers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You once told me that was the most realistic take on vampires. Yeah.
Pretty good film. Closest probably. And then their other film was fucking Jigsaw.
What was that one?
The reboot. You haven't seen it. The reboot of the Saw franchise, which failed dismally about 18, 19 months. Two Halloweens ago. So,
Okay.
This is a very weird one that's kind of out there in their filmography. And Winchester, which was a big start pile of steaming turds.
I remember hearing of that one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I talked about it.
That's right.
You're Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
So, that alone, it sort of stands out. And, honorable mention for me.
Cool. Love the show. Predestination.
My number 7 is one which is an absolute hole in your filmography, Wayne. We talk about it all the time. I've been trying to get you to watch it. We want to do a live stream of it. Maybe we can't do that. And you're like, I'm reluctant. But the third one was meant to be coming out this year. Maybe it's pushed next year. So it's bought you extra time. Fuck all that. Watch the movie. It's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Okay. May I ask, with your Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, is this simply because people enjoy the character and it's... Because to me, that was who Keanu was, the surfer stoner dude.
Whoa,
is that the case? Is that right?
Well, obviously there's some real likability to Bill and Ted. Like, their characters, they are the idiot kind of loser guys who are going to fail high school, and then they find this time travel machine, this phone box, and go back in time and get the actual historical figures to tell them what's going on so they can pass the history assignment.
So
Napoleon and Caesar and shit like that. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but I had such affection for the film. I'm a little bit trepidatious to return to it.
I was just going to say to you, do you think it will hold up?
And I fucking hope so.
You hope so.
I'm really excited to see it. And arguably, the second one is even better in some ways.
Really?
I mean, the shtick is worn, but they send it off in a whole different direction, which makes it feel fresh still.
Because George Carlin is in it at one of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Rufus. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's George Carlin, so I should probably just watch that.
Yep. We got to get on it, man. We got to check this out. You need to do it. And I wonder if it would... Yeah. You're not going to like it as much as I do and the big time
fans.
Yeah, because you're coming to it too late.
Of course.
Hopefully you'll find something in there that you enjoy. So there we are. That's my 7.
That would be nice. My number 6, folks, is... And I have to congratulate or just shout out Jordy Davidson for bringing this up, even though a few people did. Arrival. Mm. Arrival is fantastic. It's Denis Villeneuve. and it is... That might not seem like a time travel movie at its first impression, but it's kind of embedded into the film and the answer.
Oh, it's definitely
a
time travel movie.
Yeah. So it follows a linguistics professor who's Amy Adams, and she's asked to attempt to decipher the language of this new life form that has landed on Earth. The aliens are very weird, and the way that they communicate is like this circular sort of imprint. It's not even like words, or it doesn't run anywhere. It's a symbol. But anyway, she's the one who can basically read or decipher that. But the reason she can is because the damn creatures, spoilers, are throwing her into the future so that she can learn and know the language and bring it back, the knowledge to the past, so that she can... Yeah, it's a long, long story, but it is very, very cool. And it is one of those things that leaves you with a lot to think about long after the credits roll. Paul does not like this as much as I do.
I wasn't a big fan.
But I enjoy the questions
I'm in the minority
it asks
there.
You. Yeah, so, you know, awesome stuff. And what made me notice Denis Villeneuve, I would say.
Was this before you saw Sicario?
It was... Oh, say, you're right. But like his... Sicario was this action movie, which is probably amazing. I still love that film. But this one was like so atmospheric, and it was successful in its atmosphericness, whereas Sicario was more... Do you know what I mean? Like, Sicario was exciting. This was like, ooh, the long sweeping shots. That's
certainly long. I'll give you that.
Yeah, see? I love the show. And Jeremy Renner, I liked him too.
Okay. And Forest Whitaker, of course.
Of course.
All right. My number 6 is, that's summarized by its tagline, trapped in time, surrounded by evil, low on gas.
Are we in goddamn darkness?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, because he turns up by being...
One of my favorite characters of all time, Ash from the Evil Dead series. In film number 3, he's now stuck in the past, back in feudal times, and he is fighting the Deadites with the help of the human army, and it becomes a bit of a... you know, it's certainly a comedy first and foremost, and then it's kind of a horror's really strong web. I guess, you know, when you're battling moving skeletons and whatever else and the undead, I guess you have to call it a bit of a horror.
This is the one I like.
Yeah, because like. It's the softest of the
absolutely.
Of the
and
three.
You know what? There's only one bad scene in this, and that's with the little ashes.
Yeah, I agree.
That fucking pissed me off. I'm like, yeah, that was like, ugh. But if it weren't for that, the hey, she bitch, let's go.
That the first 15 minutes of Army of Darkness may be the best 15 minutes of an opening film ever made. It is so good.
It is good. It is good. It is really, really good. So no,
Shop smart.
Yeah.
First you want to kiss me, now you want to kill. First you want to kill me, now you want to kiss me. Blow. But you said you loved me, Ash. That's just pillow talk, baby.
I do know that one.
I love Ash.
Did you like the TV show?
Never watched the last. I watched the first season or two seasons, and then I haven't watched the third season yet because there's a part of me just doesn't want to let go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't want it to end.
Yeah, I don't want it to end. So I don't really
fair
want
enough.
To, yeah. It's fine, the TV show. I've enjoyed it for the most part, but it certainly doesn't capture the magic of the three films for me.
Mm. Okay. Very nice.
Okay, that's my six.
Cool. My number five is Looper.
Yeah, okay.
Good. Okay, good. Everyone, Looper, this is Rian Johnson, who went and did Star Wars movies and other stuff, but he is excellent. He creates this like unique world of science fiction. Like, basically, time travel has been created, but it's only available on the black market. And the mob is sending people that they want to kill 30 years into the past to get taken out by these Looper dudes like Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who grows up to be Bruce Willis. And basically, this movie itself, I would say, is where I had seen them do first things with time travel movies.
Yeah, for sure. Like
Paul Dano?
Yes.
At the beginning, losing bits of his limb because in the past, someone is cutting off his shit and he's trying to get somewhere before it happens. Fucking, I've never seen that happen before.
Yeah. It holds its continuity really well in a very different way, this film, than most time travel films. You don't kind of see that.
No way. It's novel, man. And it's like the idea is that in the future that tracking is so good you can't just kill someone. You have to literally rid their existence by sending them in the past. Mm-hmm. And that is like, I guess it asks you the question, what would you do if you went back in time and met your younger self? And then it spins it on its head because you'd think, well, I'd be really kind to my younger self and he'd be really kind to me. Nope.
Well, if not for certain machinations, the younger self would have just killed himself and not realized what was going on.
Exactly.
But it's very interesting. Very, very well put together film.
Terrifically tense, I think, the action sequences.
And I know some people get lost in the second half a bit and don't like the sort of fantasy direction it kind of goes.
That is what makes it interesting. Mm-hmm. That whole, that supernatural-ish element to it, which is not prevalent for the whole movie, but then becomes very prevalent at the end in terms of the meaning of the movie, that makes it a different, like, that elevates it, in my opinion.
I agree.
So, you know.
I'm a big fan of this movie.
Looper.
It's one that's constantly on there. I should rewatch that because I dug it so much. I've only seen it twice, I think.
Mm. Brick is also good to watch again.
Yeah, Brick I didn't like as much as this film.
Yeah. Oh, no, Brick is like, it's more amateurish, but it's still interesting.
Oh, yeah, as it would be for a first film. Mm. Which leads me to my number five, Star Trek 2009.
Nice. Fair enough, man. What a great show. What a great show.
Loved it. And I loved it, like, at the cinemas, really enjoyed it. But then when I bought it on 4K and watched it again, just elevated it that much further. And that's a sign of a really good film for me if I really liked it more the second time.
It was so exciting. When it came out, it was just exciting with all the fucking sword fighting and the diving down
the
fucking thing.
It was like the antithesis of the original Star Trek film. Do you remember how boring that fucking movie was?
Yeah. The original one was
Let's
shit.
Let's have a 3-minute shot of the fucking Enterprise.
Oh yeah, it was glory shots, man.
Just gliding past the static camera. That's fucking entertaining, that is.
Did you know that on the set
Look at that thing go. It's still going. It was like being in a fucking set of train tracks waiting for the big long freight trains to go past.
They were just happy because they built the set and the buttons really worked on the actual set. I'm like, that's pretty cool. So, you know, fair enough. Good one.
Yeah, you're number four.
My number four is Groundhog Day.
Yeah, not on my list.
Oh, see,
yeah,
okay.
That probably lost me the vote right here. But I just don't like this one as much as everyone else.
Oh, really? So, okay, everyone, Bill Murray is in this movie and he's a weatherman and he goes to a small town with Andy fucking, what's her name?
McDowell.
Andy McDowell. And some other folks. And then...
Brilliant.
Good
podcasting. Welcome to the Countdown, your source for all movie information.
Chris someone, I can't remember his name. Anyway, so they go down there and they're shooting a story. But of course, then what happens is Bill Murray lives the same day over and over
and
over.
So he keeps time traveling back one day.
Right.
One day.
To live that same day.
The same day again and again. And there's only one way out.
That's right. And people have surmised that period is 10 years. He's been in 10 years. He's been living the same day for 10 years. That's what they reckon. So to, for him to learn the piano like that and all that sort of shit, right? So, well, the thing is, first of all, it is never explained. It's only suggested that he would live the same day until he did it right, and then he goes on to do like have a really wonderful day.
Yep,
and
falls in love and gets her to fall.
Yeah, exactly. So this movie actually famously was one that with Bill Murray and Harold Ramis, who directed it, butted heads.
Is that right?
Yeah. Murray wanted it to be more philosophical and Harold Ramis was pushing the comedy, but it's still, the push and pull still makes it work. I think this is the wicked ass movie, man. I like that Ned Gunn too.
I probably need to give it more of a shot.
It's just because it was handled well. You know what I mean? Like, there you go. So
there's some other examples of this going back and redoing the same day over and over again. Happy Death Day and Happy Death Day to You spring to mind.
Mm.
But yeah, as much as I should like Happy Death Day a lot more than Groundhog Day because it's a horror movie which falls into my wheelhouse. Even those ones don't do a lot for me. So something about this whole just redoing things over and over, it just doesn't work for me.
I understand.
The way other time travel films do.
It is, exactly. It's tough. It's tough.
All right, 4 for me is just straightforward Looper.
Looper. That's fantastic. Where it was. Yeah, nice one.
So. Now, let's see here. By my reckoning, we should have the same top three. Maybe in different order,
mm-hmm.
but it should be the same top three, the same three films. Let's see.
It won't, because one of mine is definitely not yours.
Oh my God, then you skipped something that's really ultra important.
I have. I actually know the one that I have skipped, and it's fine. It's fine.
Oh my God.
My number three is Edge of Tomorrow, everyone.
My number three is Edge of Tomorrow.
All right, because why wouldn't it be? Tom Cruise, Emily Blunt. Emily Blunt is cool as fuck in this show. Tom Cruise is pimp as fuck. The whole thing is wicked. It is Groundhog Day, but fucking...
I've just got through saying there's none of these on my list. Yes, there is. I totally forgot.
There you go. I'm saying, right? So the every day over and over, you know how hard it is to handle that? Shooting Bill Paxton saying the same shit lines over and over and over and letting you see it?
And the difference is, one, the arc that Tom Cruise's character for me goes through in this movie, I'm much more invested in that.
Absolutely.
And then I am Bill Murray's arc, because it's just, will he fucking get the girl? Well, this is, will he save the universe?
Absolutely. This is world. A much... The thing is, look, Groundhog Day was well-crafted comedy. It was one of those 90s comedies.
Yeah.
And Bill, you know, this is your fucking, you know, so Doug Liman guy doing like it's a Tom Cruise movie, so it's got money and fucking beautiful fucking movie. I mean, it's just, I think it's probably one of the best sci-fi movies I've ever seen.
And the other difference is, I was going to say, one's a comedy, one's a sci-fi action film.
Absolutely.
And again, one of those is way more in my wheelhouse. Obviously, yeah. Edge of Tomorrow.
And it's harsh as well. Like, this is literally Tom Cruise dying over and over and over. You know what I mean? Like, so there you go. So,
Fascinating, very entertaining film. Bitches out at the end.
Me and Paul famously disagree about the end. By the way, Christopher McQuarrie wrote this.
Did he?
The director of...
I know Christopher McQuarrie. Yeah. And in Usual Suspects.
He did, didn't he? Yeah. That motherfucker's the shit.
Yeah, I mean, he had some misfires on the way. I don't think people love Way of the Gun all that much, his directorial debut.
Did you like it?
I remember thinking it was just meh. And that was with Sharon Stone in it, so...
And Benicio, and yeah.
And Ryan Phillippe.
Yeah.
Leap, whatever his
name
is.
That's right.
Edge of Tomorrow, great film. Totally glad it's on your list. Wondered whether it would be higher. Mm. So, All right. Well, we're back to you for your number two.
Okay. My number two is about time.
Yes. Oh, shit.
That's what it was going to be. Okay.
Of course, that was going to be on a list.
Yes.
Not on mine. I'm not a big fan.
If you've listened to the show at all, you've heard me talk about this. But basically, it's about Donald Gleason, who is the males in his family can go back in time if they want. And you move back and forward in time.
Only so far, though, right?
Only so far. And, well, only so far insofar as once you have a kid. And then that kid grows up with you. If you go back in time before that kid and do anything different, by the time you get the kid, it'll be a different kid.
Right. Yep.
So you have to. So that's where it's a father-son thing, and it's actually a rom-com with probably the best meet cute I've ever seen. It's all in the darkness, so it's pure fucking like just dialogue, very funny. But I cry like a bitch with this movie. I cry like a total bitch, and we talked about it a lot. So about time, you should see it. It's about time.
Again, knew this would be on your list.
Yeah.
I know my brother is now very happy with you, Wayne, because he's on his list as well.
If you're a boy who had a father, you are going to like this show. Okay.
Disagree. This film is just
fucking beautiful, man. And they make Rachel McAdams look like ass.
Rachel McAdams has been in a lot of time travel films. She was the time traveler's wife.
Yes, she was.
She's in Doctor Strange.
Right.
And I'm thinking there's another one, which I can't think of off the top of my head, that she was also in. But anyway. Yeah.
Nice.
My number two is Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
That's what I left off.
Yeah. And look, you could wax in Terminator, the first one here, but I like Terminator 2 better. I fall into that camp.
That is the only question I would have as to which of these you would have on there.
Obviously, Terminator set
the T2 scene, is what you should have put on there.
But T2 is astounding how good the film is. And then, the whole thing is time travel. two machines are sent back to destroy the savior of humankind or protect the savior of humankind in the battle against the machines in the future.
Totally.
Can't be any more time travel than that.
Oh, no. There's no doubt about that. In fact, the only reason I left off my list is literally, here it is. I don't feel like putting it on this week. That's it. Because there's no argument that it's a time travel film.
A magnificent film.
And it's an awesome film. It's just, I don't know if I'm used to T2 or not, because Terminator 1 was novel. Terminator 2 was just in-your-face spectacular, but amazing.
Just.
Yeah.
But just spectacular and amazing. Wayne left it off his list.
Yeah.
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
I knew it would go this way, and I'm willing to ride the train down. So there you are. Fair enough, man. T2.
Whoopah!
Not even a point.
All right. Well, then let's give a recap, and then I hope. This time around, unlike last week, Wayne has learnt his lesson and has exactly the same.
I don't pander, Paul. Number I don't pander. One.
Chewie's not a very good psychic. Fuck Chewie. Chewie can eat all the dick.
He was a great psychic. It's an obvious choice is all.
Just because something's obvious doesn't mean you shouldn't pick it.
It is for the entertainment of the masses. It is. You want us one to go a little left and right. You know what I'm saying? Anyway.
All right. Count us down. Well, give us your recap.
Okay, sure. My 10 was The Final Countdown, ironically. Number 9, Star Trek. 8, Donnie Darko. 7, Predestination. 6, Arrival. 5, Looper. 4, Groundhog Day. 3, Edge of Tomorrow. 2, About Time. And my number 1.
Do you want to travel back in time and start it all over again?
Why not?
No, your number 1. Go on, please.
Of course it's Back to the Future.
Yes.
Okay, and it's 1. Back to the Future 1.
Absolutely.
Some people are saying 2. I'm like, what do you mean? It didn't even have an ending.
Two is good.
Two is great. And until I was like, what the fuck?
I would probably have number 2 on low on my list if we were including sequels.
Do you like 3?
No.
A lot of people didn't like 3 because of all the cowboy shit. I like the shit.
I don't like 3.
I really liked it. I thought, cowboys, that's interesting.
Rewatched them, but all of them last year with Kaylee, my daughter, and...
That's cool. I like that you're doing that.
And I... The bit that made me laugh the most, to be honest, and the whole series is at the end number 2, she's like, what was that?
That's what I thought.
To be continued, because I had read that to her.
Yeah.
She got 2B, couldn't continue. She's like, what is that? And I'm like, well, we go straight into the next movie now. She goes, that's terrible.
Oh, nice. I was in the cinema and had the same thought at the age of 15. I was like, fuck off. So.
I mean, what can we say about Back to the Future, right?
Dude, do you want to give yours?
Okay, my 10. Time Crimes, 9, Source Code, 8, 12 Monkey, 7, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, 6, Army of Darkness, 5, Star Trek 2009, 4, Looper, 3, Edge of Tomorrow, number 2, Terminator 2, Judgment Day, and yes, Back to the Future, obviously, is my also number 1. It was so obvious that even when I put it up on Twitter, I stuck it there with the gif of Back to the Future and said,
yeah.
See how you go and if you can name something other than this film.
Yeah. Because it's like the lightsaber in Best Weapons.
And then I would say... Yeah, a little bit. We could have done the same thing.
Yeah.
We honestly could have. I would say 50% of people had one of the Back to the Futures on their list out of the 100 and more responses we got this week.
Easily. And you know what? This is... So I was thinking to myself, is it just nostalgia putting me here? So I put on the movie again.
I watched it again last year, like I said.
Dude, you remember the beginning where you're like hearing the ticking of the clock and the fade from black and then the camera sweeping through the scene of all the different clocks and tick, 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 tick. And then... It's Doc Brown's lab. You see the coffee pot and all sort of shit, right?
Inventions are all sort of springing up.
Exactly. And if half of them are shit and half of them are good. And then you see Marty's just feet walking in, calling out for Doc Brown. Yep. And then he hooks up the guitar and he pulls the riff and he gets blown away with a big speaker. I remember being in the cinema getting somehow more excited as I hear the tick, 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 tick and the clocks and you're learning about Doc Brown with the newspaper clippings and shit. And then I was like, fuck, what is this? This is so stylish. All I see is his feet, but I know it's Michael J. Fox because he's Family Ties guy, right? And it's so interesting that he makes it. If they've gone with Eric Stoltz, just from the footage I've seen, it would not have worked.
There's a urban legend about this film. I can't remember what podcast. Oh, I think it was Fake Doctors, Real Friends, JD and Turk's podcast.
Yeah.
And they were talking about this and that apparently Eric Stoltz, he insisted, he was method. He's like, everyone has to call me Marty on the set.
Oh, yeah. Biff Tannen, whatever that guy's name is. He's actually a sweetheart, that actual actor. He's a comedian.
Yeah.
And he said that the diner scene where there was the punch, right? He said Eric would actually stick his finger in his chest, like that was the scene.
Yeah.
Right? But he would do it really, really hard. So hard that after the second take, he said, dude, that really hurts. Like I'm having trouble with it.
And no
he
need.
Just, fuck you. Kept on doing it, take after take.
So that's what
pissed him off.
This is what got him fired.
Yeah.
He just took it, went way too serious. And apparently the story goes, Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
It was like when they fired Eric Stoltz and replaced them with Michael J. Fox. It was like, who's Eric? Who's Eric Stoltz? And they're like, well, Marty. I thought his name was Marty.
Man, I don't know about this method shit. I hate it. I know Daniel Day-Lewis is considered the best actor ever, and he does it. Fuck off, man. Yeah. If you're method, are you really an actor? You're just becoming a different person.
Which is kind of what acting is. I don't know.
Yeah, you can turn it off and on.
Discussion for another day, anyway. But yeah, what a magnificent movie. And just the soundtrack, how exciting it is, how the elements all gel together. There's the awkwardness of Mum chasing him, but you know, somehow the film rises above that.
Absolutely.
It's just so entertaining and ends in such a great way. Yeah. Love this movie, Back to the Future. It was a shoo-in for everyone's number, surely.
I had the argument with us, well, is there something else that deserves it more?
No.
Well, you don't love anything more, is what I thought.
It's also, it's the film that defines the genre.
Yes.
Everything's measured against Back to the Future.
Yes. And I thought about throwing Avengers in here, okay?
Like, yeah, Endgame or whatever. That's a good point. I would have bet you would have.
Or Infinity War or something. And I just, yeah,
no,
I don't
Infinity
know.
War didn't have any time travel, only Endgame did.
Oh, you're right, Endgame did. Yep. Yes. So, yeah, but it wasn't, yeah, it just wasn't there. Like, it didn't have the same love because it's too soon. Maybe in, you know, 10 years, who knows?
No, but I just don't think the time travel is very good in Endgame. Like, it's a convenient plot device that gets them out of trouble. That's what it exists for.
Okay, here's the thing. The good thing about Endgame is that apparently, and I've just read this, so maybe it's crap, but most theorists say that with Endgame saying that you actually create a new stream of time travel, you don't actually change the future or the past. You just
right, yeah.
They actually think that that's more likely. So Endgame is actually using better, I guess, more accepted theory than Back to the Future. And then they reference Back to the Future saying, you Back to the Future is bullshit.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So that's cool, man.
I'm not sure that's okay to do.
I think it's okay.
The gold star standard in the subgenre.
But I liked it so much when it happened. I'm like, good. At least you said it. All right. You know, so anyway.
All right. That's our list. Do you want to quickly run down your honorable mentions, Wayne?
True, man. I liked Deja Vu. Remember that movie?
Denzel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the other ones. Frequency. Really liked Frequency.
Yeah.
Midnight in Paris.
Never seen that Woody Allen one.
Okay. Yeah, oh, it's very pretentious, but it's still quite well put together for a Woody Allen film.
Is that it? Sorry?
Yep, that's it.
I had, apart from Terminator, Back to Future 2, I had, in Star Trek 4, as mentioned, I had Austin Powers,
yeah,
International
good one.
Man of Mystery.
Good one.
And Planet of the Apes from 68.
Oh, the 68 one. Mm-hmm. Stinking dirty dozen apes.
Yeah. You're blowing up your heart. Yeah. Because, again, it's a very, I mean, eventually the whole film becomes that, but it's that whole we moved at a certain point faster than light.
Yes.
So it's the weakest time travel entry, but it's definitely time travel.
Definitely there.
In terms of how much time travel there actually is. That's our list. What about yours? We wrap up every episode with a segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
All right, Wayne, prepare yourself because this is not short this week. There are many, many entries, and so I'm going to run through a few more than usual.
Even more?
Kicking off with Steve from the Everything I Learned From Movies podcast. If no Back to the Future, then Time Rider, Legend of Lyle Swan, The Terminator and Time Bandits.
Uh-huh.
Steve-el had Edge of Tomorrow and Looper.
Nice one.
Mackenzie Lambert, long-term listener of the show, said Army of Darkness, Bill and Ted's excellent adventure, and Back to the Future Part 2.
You're going to do that every time?
Oh, fuck, I thought you. Peter from Podstalgic, he said, Father Navigator, Hot Top Time Machine, and Project Almanac, but is on record as saying Back to the Future is his favorite film of all time. So he also avoided that particular choice.
Okay, so that one, yep.
Nick H. stayed a fuck at home. I think that's Nick from the Facebook listening community. Said Star Trek 4, T2, and Back to the Future Part 1.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Yini, aforementioned, had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
Nice! The Secret of the Ooze, and that was 2.
No, it's 2. I think it's just called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
No, they went to the fucking China.
Yeah, but they did go back in time. First VHS I bought with my own dollars.
What?
Donnie Darko, which is just for Netflix and Swill, because lol, they hate that film.
Do they?
And Evil Dead Army of Darkness. It was his number 1.
There you go.
Drew for the Real Feels podcast. Army of Darkness. Interstellar.
Ooh.
Hold on, Drew. Here goes Wayne.
I don't really care for that movie. It just went too long and ended 7 times.
And Terminator 2, Judgment Day. Now, here we go. Now, Sam, good mate, Sam Hurley from the Movie Reviews and 20 Qs podcast.
I know Sam.
Was never going to feature Back to the Future anyway because it's overrated. Ooh, yeah. Hot take. Damn, Sam. Groundhog Day, Terminator 2, and Avengers Endgame was his number 1 time travel movie.
There you go.
Despite what we just spoke about.
I get it.
Bad Dad's film review had Time Crimes, 12 Monkeys, and Primer, which is considered the most realistic time travel movie
ever made. Okay, so I see this palm up. I have not seen Primer. Have you seen it?
Yeah. The major, it's a really low budget, really simple film. Well, not simple film in terms of budget and expense. It's like in someone's garage and they build this box, which is a time machine. The difference is they hold that to travel back in time 6 hours, you have to sit in the box for 6 hours, right? So it's not it's not instantaneous thing. So you can't go back very far, right? You can only go back to a certain point because you actually have to.
That would still be really useful.
That reminds me, Rick and Morty's latest episode, I know you don't watch it,
yeah,
for anyone who does, it's literally Morty challenges Rick to make a device which will allow you to save your point in your life, fuck off and do whatever, and then hit a button and go back to that save point, like a game.
Oh, okay.
So it's almost like a do-over again, a time travel back to that point.
You kidding me? That's the bomb.
Of course, it goes the Rick and Morty direction, so it doesn't end up being what it seems to be, but it's really funny the way that they handle this episode. So
You know, you just made me think of something. Paul and I had a teacher, Craig Dowsett.
Yeah. Right? Hello, Mr. Dowsett.
Hey, Mr. Dowsett. He had an actual theory for moving forward in time, but he could not move back in time. And he showed us about basically using a spacecraft and orbiting the Earth and that sort of shit.
If you move faster than the speed of light.
Relative to Yeah, exactly. So anyway, there you are.
Yep. LJ Human, Luke said, Source Code, Predestination, and Back to the Future. There you go, Wayne. Chris Tuckley, Trances. Trances 2. Trances 3.
What is this Trances talk you speak of?
Like a low budget, like Full Moon production film.
Ah, okay.
Which made me laugh a lot. Anders Holmes had Looper, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and Edge of Tomorrow. We got one more from Twitter. WTF Famicon, Colin, a gaming podcast, said, number 3, Bill and Ted's Excellent
Fuck off, you're just Adventure. Cheating? No, you can't.
Number 2, Bill and Ted's Excellent
Adventure. Fucking hell.
Number 1,
I know what he's fucking
Bill
doing
and Ted's
now.
Excellent Adventure.
Why? It's already long and you pull this shit? Fuck you.
Adam Allure, the man responsible for last week's topic, had number 3, The Butterfly Effect. First mention of that one.
Ashton.
Edge of Tomorrow and Back to the Future. Paul Murphy had Terminator, Back to the Future, and Bill and Ted's Excellent.
I'm leaving.
Nick Spinarski had Safety Not Guaranteed. I don't think
I've seen that.
Yeah, good.
I was in the... that is a good movie, but I was in such the wrong mood to see it.
Lost. I don't care. It's not a movie.
Nick.
And Back to the Future. Smiler Somani also had Safety Not Guaranteed, inspired by a real classified ad that ran in a Backwoods Home magazine in 1997. Planet of the Apes, the original, Damn Dirty Apes, and Time Bandits again. Connell McNeil's had Back to the Future, the only number one. I'm talking to you, Wayne. Others I love, though. Endgame, T2, and his number one, Midnight in Paris. So there you are, a bit of a backup there. Tammy Davis had quite a few people mention this, including Rachel Webb from the Fangirling podcast as well. Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, which is considered to be a very good time travel movie.
I've seen it and I forgot it.
I've never seen it. So Butterfly Effect and Somewhere in Time was Tammy's number one.
Okay.
Last two then to wrap it up. Nicole Davis had It's So Frustrating. There's an anime that I'd love to recommend, but the time shift element is a huge surprise.
I don't know what she's talking about.
I think you do. We did.
Yeah, no, we did it for the show. You do it's know, great. It's great.
So it would be a spoiler to give the title if you've
seen
it.
You mean to give your name to the title?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Handle the truth.
Time Crimes, Looper, and Primer was Nicole's number one. And lastly, Mike Margosian, going to go with two repeat time travel just to be different. Men in Black 3, surprisingly good movie.
I agree.
Happy Death Day. And here's number one, Groundhog Day.
There you go.
And that is it for this week's listener feedback. Thank you so much to all of you. I'm sorry we couldn't get through it all.
Thanks, kids.
We're blessed to be overwhelmed with some wonderful feedback this week, and we hope you've enjoyed this countdown. Wayne, how do the listeners give us feedback week in and week out on the show?
Whip out the Google and Google The Countdown Podcast to find wherever we are everywhere else, or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
Hit us up on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. You can follow us on Podbean, like the episodes, and leave comments there. ccradio.com.au for ourselves and a bunch of other excellent Australian podcasts, including, you may have seen, head on over to Great Mates, where our live stream that we did with all the other CC Radio shows is now available there for you to listen to. Good fun times had their top five things to consume while in lockdown. And finally, Facebook listener community link is in the show notes, and that's where we hang out and do most of our interacting. All right, Wayne, what's happening next week for episode 270?
Next week, we're going to bring it back to the top 10 films of the 70s, yo.
Say it back to me.
So you think Maluku is the 70s. Okay. All right.
What else? What's the song from Khalido's Way?
What the fuck is that? What's the song from there? Yeah, that's the one.
That's a bingo.
Well, we never promised it would be accurate.
There you are.
But it will be accurate next week when we talk the top 10 films of the 70s. So prepare yourselves for flares, sideburns, and what else? Go-go.
Remember 70s porn where people's dick had sideburns?
What is this porn you speak of?
Yeah, sure.
All right, that is what we'll be doing next week. We hope you'll join us then for what will be a very big countdown. And that's it for today. My name is Paul.
And my name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard. I haven't played it in a long
try
time.
Again.
Ask and ye shall receive.
What am I doing? Yeah. Okay, yeah. I should have just shut up.
We'll catch you next week.